morning, we are going to dive a little bit deeper into what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ, what it means to be a Christian. We've been talking these past few weeks about how being a Christian involves being a follower. It involves being a flock or gathering together as we do on Sunday mornings and other times for the blessing and benefit of Christians. But this morning we're going to think a little bit deeper about this, and I was tempted to title this, "We're Thinkers," but thinker does not begin with F, and I wanted to keep it in line with our series that we've been talking about. We're followers, we're flockers, and today we learn that Christians are foragers. One of the things that is unique to every living thing on earth is the need for nourishment, the need for food. Food supplies things that sustain us. It's required for longevity in life. We need nourishment to flourish and to thrive as living things, all living things do. They need nourishment in some form or another. Plants need it, trees need it, from the smallest slimy creatures in the swamps to the fish and the birds, people, animals, cattle, sheep. It's absolutely necessary for life to have nourishment. But for humans, nourishment takes on a new meaning when we consider the makeup of human beings. We did not evolve from something else. Let's get that clear first of all. We are the only thing, as the Bible states, that was created in the image of God, and it makes human beings separate from everything else in creation. Okay? We are unique in our makeup and how God created us. And one of the things that makes us unique is what we call a dichotomy. Some argue that we're really a trichotomy. From the philosophers of ancient times, Aristotle and Plato, they wrestled with these concepts. And what I mean by this is that we are two things in one. We're body and spirit. Some say we're body, spirit, and soul. But when you really delve into the meanings of the words in the Bible, and spirit and soul, they interconnect. They're common. And they mean the same thing. So when we talk about human beings, nourishment takes on a new meaning when we consider that human beings are a dichotomy. We are physical and we are spiritual. Paul told the Corinthians, if there is a physical body, there's also a spiritual body, meaning a spirit. And these words are used interchangeably in the Bible, spirit and soul. At the creation, God breathed life into the man. And that word breathed or breath in the Hebrew language is ruach, as it was written in the ancient languages, meaning a wind or a breath, you see. In the New Testament, the word that is used in the Greek is pneuma, meaning wind, where we get the word pneumatics, you know, the pneumatic tools, the air wrenches and so forth that the garages use. So we see that man was created, and then God breathed into him the breath of life, gave him a spirit, so the man is spirit and body. And then we read about the valley of dry bones in Ezekiel. God says, I'll lay sinews, muscle, tissue upon you, and I'll bring flesh upon you, and I'll cover you with skin, and I'll put breath, I'll put wind, I'll put spirit in you, and you shall live. You see, we're not living truly until God breathes His Spirit into us, and we become spirit and body, physical and spiritual, and conclude that humanity is physical and spiritual. Now, considering all this, and the fact that every living thing needs nourishment, we generally think of nourishment being physical, don't we? But what about the spiritual? Do we need spiritual nourishment? And the answer is clearly, yes, we do. This is where our culture is starving today, in that it's failing to feed the spiritual part of our being. As Christians, the Lord's sheep who knows His voice, we're followers, we're flockers, and lastly, we're foragers. We're feeders. We need to be feeding. And in a sense, we're foragers. As we think of the sheep in the pasture foraging around, we humans are like the sheep. We're foraging for food, both physical and spiritual. And we know all too well about physical food, but the spiritual is where we're starving. We're foraging around, looking around, searching for something to satisfy our souls. And boy, doesn't our world provide a lot of different ways for that. And the worldly things, we may find something that satisfies that need, but it only lasts for a little bit. And then it's gone. Because that's the way of the worldly things. What's so incredible is our culture is not much different than the culture of Jesus' day when He was speaking to the people here as He was going around teaching. We find Him on the other side of the lake after He had fed the 5,000, you know, and His disciples got into the boat and went over to the other side of the lake. Jesus came walking to them on water. And in the morning, when morning came, the boat was gone. Jesus was gone too. And they realized, hey, Jesus didn't get into the boat. The boat's gone. Where's Jesus? So they went over to the other side of the lake and they found Him. And Jesus confronts them first and foremost with their true motive in life. He says, I tell you the truth, you're looking for Me not because you saw miraculous signs, speaking about multiplying the loaves and the fishes, feeding the people and so forth. He says, you're following Me because you ate the loaves and you had your fill. Don't work for food that spoils. Work for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. Because on Him, God the Father has placed His seal of approval. You see, Jesus is confronting them and convicting them with their earthly motives. And sadly, today, a large majority of our population agrees to follow Jesus because of earthly motives. They think, wow, I'm going to follow this Jesus guy because Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it abundantly. I want abundant life. I want money. I want cars. I want houses. I want jobs. I want good health. I want all these things. I'm going to follow Jesus because the Bible says I'll have all those things if I follow Jesus. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says we'll prosper. But when you understand biblical prosperity, it's not in a worldly way, folks. You see? So Jesus confronts them. He says, you're not following Me for spiritual food. You're following Me because I fed you. I met your earthly needs. You see, and He was confronting them about bread that spoils and bread that is eternal. He's comparing. He says, don't work for food that spoils. You're working for this. You're following Me for something that's temporary, that's going to spoil. He says, no, work for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man can give you. Well, they said to Jesus, what must we do the works that God requires? You know, we're all into this works thing in Christianity. Got to do the good works. Got to do the good things. You know, God's going to be pleased with me and then I'm going to be blessed because I'm doing good works. Some people actually believe that Jesus saved them because they are good people and they've done good things. That isn't biblical at all to begin with. So they said, what must we do the works that God requires? Look what Jesus says. The work of God's this, to believe in the one He sent. Believing in Jesus is what's necessary. That's the work that God requires. It's faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, to believe in, not only believe in Him as He existed, but believe in Him that He exists and believe what He says, so much so that we follow Him like a sheep follows a shepherd because we've made Him our Lord and our Savior. You see, He's confronting them with their earthly needs. But He's also telling them what's more important, an often forgotten need. And that's the spiritual bread, the spiritual nourishment that's eternal. What do they need to do? Jesus says, all you need to do is believe. You need to believe in me. So they said, what sign are you going to give us? Because we want to believe, but we're not going to believe unless we see the sign. Wow. That is so contemporary in contemporary theology today, that we're not going to believe until we see. And they said, we're not going to believe until we see. What miracle are you going to give us, Jesus? What will you do? Our forefathers ate manna in the desert. They were fed because he gave them bread from heaven to eat. So Jesus gives them this great comparison between himself and the manna. He says to them, I tell you the truth, it wasn't Moses who gave you the bread from heaven. It was my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. And the bread of God, the Father, is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Giving this comparison between Jesus and the manna in the desert, they remembered that God had provided manna to nourish them in the 40 years of wandering. Jesus said, it wasn't Moses who provided this. God provided this. And the true bread that God provides for you now, spiritually, to feed you spiritually, is the Son of Man who comes down from heaven. Sir, they said, from now on, you give us this bread. You give us this bread. Jesus declared, I'm the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. He who believes in me will never be thirsty. They were talking about meeting physical needs. Jesus was talking about meeting spiritual needs. The nourishment they were talking about perished in the desert years ago. The nourishment Jesus was talking about never perishes. And in the end, Jesus makes a timeless invitation. A timeless invitation to even us today, as far as the spiritual nourishment that never perishes goes. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. Whoever comes to me, I'll never drive away. When sheep are hungry, what do? They forage for food, right? The word forage in the verb sense, the verb tense, means to search for something that someone wants. You know, in our culture today, people are foraging around all over the place trying to find this certain nourishment that's going to fulfill all of their needs. Jesus calls us to come to Him and believe in Him. We'll never go hungry or be thirsty. And what's interesting here is when we look back to the providence of manna in the desert that they were referring to, we start to understand the complete nourishment of the body and the soul. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, when the people were getting ready to enter the promised land, they were supposed to remember all that God had done for them and remember the commands of Almighty God and carry them into the promised land and keep them near and dear to their hearts. So be careful to follow every command I'm giving you so that you may live and increase and may enter the promised land and possess the promised land that the Lord promised on oath to your forefathers. Remember how He led you all the way in the desert for 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart. I want you to think about that. God led His people in the desert for 40 years to test them and to humble them. Not to tempt them, but to test them and humble them to see what was in their heart. It's in these low times, these hungry times in our lives, folks, when we're feeling so dry and in the desert of life, God looks to see what's in our hearts. You see, He humbled them, causing them to hunger, and then He fed them with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. He wanted to teach the people back then and today in those times that earthly nourishment is not what really truly satisfies us. It's not enough. We cannot live on the earthly alone. That there's something more that's necessary for the human person, the human creation, to flourish and to live. Deuteronomy 8:3 says, He humbled you, causing you to hunger, then He fed you with manna, which neither your fathers had known, in order to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. This word manna, when I started looking at this and was really asking, what did they mean? What did God mean? What did the people mean? And what did Jesus mean when they talked about this story? The word manna means whatness. W-H-A-T. Whatness. You see? He caused them to hunger and then He fed you with whatness. With whatever He chose, in the way that He chose, He fed the people. He nourished them. In order to teach them that man does not live on bread, meaning food, namely earthly food, because life does not consist of earthly food alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. And the word in the Old Testament means to go out, implicating a direction, showing us as we start to think about this, let's be thinkers, that man, or that God provided whatever He desired. In that case, it was the manna, the whatness. They didn't understand how it got there. It disappeared after that. After it was there for the day, it disappeared. And then the next day, He would provide it again. God fed them with the whatness of what God chose to provide for them, showing them that life does not consist of earthly food alone, that man also lives and is nourished by God's direction. What goes out from God, from the mouth of the Lord, what God breathes, or from the Spirit of God. I hope you can follow me here. In the Ruach, the wind, the breath of God, which is the Spirit of God, God fed them as the Spirit of God provided for them in the whatness that happened to be the manna. Now, let's bring that back down to understandable concepts here. Jesus quoted this to Satan when he was tempted in the desert. The desert tempted him physically. Jesus corrected him, and that one thing the devil cannot provide is spiritual nourishment. Jesus said, man doesn't live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. In other words, whatever comes and directs us from the Spirit of God is what man really needs to live on. When you understand the ancient texts and what was going on here, they were to be reminded, and Jesus was reminding them also, that we do not live on earthly things alone, but the wholeness and the nourishment that nourishes us spiritually is whatever God provides for you to direct you from His Spirit and by His Spirit. He directs us and provides for us. And that's why the world can't provide either the inner nourishment that we need to be whole. Because Satan is referred to as the prince of this world, see, in John 12:14-16. He's referred to as the prince of this world. That's why the world can't provide what we're looking for, folks. That's why we need to quit looking in the world to satisfy our spiritual needs. It isn't there. It isn't there. And our world needs to start understanding that. What the Bible is saying and what Jesus was teaching is that we are never completely nourished until we come to Him. And when we come to Him, we will be forever nourished, physically and spiritually. We'll never go hungry. In the reference to the way the world lives, in Ephesians, when Paul writes to the believers in Ephesus, he says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live, speaking to their former way. You see, before they came to Christ, you were dead. And that's the way in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who's now at work in those who are disobedient. That's the spirit of Satan. That's the worldly ways that dictated their lives before they came to Christ, see. And they were disobedient, gratifying the cravings of their sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. They were by nature objects of wrath, but God, in His great love for us, who's rich in mercy, made us alive and saved us from that. How did he save us? In the whiteness of Jesus Christ on the cross and the providence of his Holy Spirit that fills us and nourishes us inside. Our struggle for nourishment, longevity, and strength. In that struggle, we forage around looking for something that will give us our heart's desire and our soul's peace. But David knew that our only hope for all that we seek in life and death was to follow the Good Shepherd as we forage through life. Remember what he said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." David knew that clearly. And David had a lot of turmoil in his life. But he knew that his only hope was in the Lord. I ask you this morning, is there something deep inside you that needs nourishment or peace or wholeness today? Could it be that you're looking for love in all the wrong places? You've foraged around and you keep coming up hungry. Jesus says that earth cannot fully satisfy us. We have an inner desire for something that only Jesus can provide. Because, folks, that spirit that's in us was breathed into us by Almighty God, and only Almighty God can nourish that spirit. That's so awesome to think that, folks. What a gift that He's breathed His spirit into us, and we can turn to Him because He knows best how to feed that spirit. I suggest, first of all, that you turn to the Bible. Turn to the Bible. Dust it off. Get it out. Start reading it. If you don't understand its language, maybe you need a different translation. There are more than enough out there today to read. But when you start reading the Bible, the word that proceeds from the mouth of Almighty God, the direction that comes out of the Lord God, is manna to our souls. Feeds us and nourishes us. Secondly, turn to Jesus in prayer. It doesn't have to be lengthy, like I get on Sunday mornings. It doesn't have to be with special technical churchy words. You whisper a prayer in the morning, whisper a prayer at noon, whisper a prayer at evening. But turning to Jesus in prayer says something about when we're being tested where our heart lies, like the people in the desert. And thirdly, what's more important is where we are on Sunday morning. We're flockers, remember. It's important for us to gather together. We're nourished here. We're fed here. Not with just with the donuts after the worship today. But we're nourished inside our souls as the Lord speaks to us through the whiteness of the music, the whiteness of the readings, the whiteness of the singing, the prayers, and the message. You see, we say, well, what is that? That's what they said about the manna. Well, maybe it isn't enough. God said it's going to be enough every day. Don't gather too much for the next day, because that's not the way it works. Day by day by day, a day at a time, they collected the manna. Day by day, a day at a time. We turn to God's Word. We pray to our Lord Jesus. We flock together as believers, trusting that every day in the whiteness that God provides in life, we're going to find nourishment and refreshment to sustain us inside and out. It may be in a person, it may be in a place, it may be in a message, it may be in the quietness of your quiet time with a cup of coffee. But folks, Jesus says that our motives here on earth have to be on the spiritual nourishment of our souls, our spirits. Or we're going to die. He says, you come to me, I won't turn you away. I'll feed you. I'll feed you forever. I'll give you something that will never perish, never go bad, never lose its power by coming to me. The last message in our series that we're going to be learning about, but it won't be for 3 weeks now, is that believers are to be focused. Because I think that's part of the problem in our spiritual journey today in the culture. So we've lost our focus. But I want to leave you with this morning. I want to read this passage of Scripture from a paraphrase known as the Message. Okay? This is not from John. This is from me to you this morning. Don't waste your energy striving for perishable food like that. Work for food that sticks with you. Food that nourishes your lasting life. Food the Son of Man provides. He and what He does are guaranteed by God the Father to last. To that they said, well, what do we do then to get in on God's works? Oh, I don't like that at all, because that's not the way it works. What do we do to get in on God's works? Jesus said, throw your lot in with the one that God has sent. That kind of a commitment gets you in on God's works. They waffled. Why don't you give us a clue about who you are? Just a hint of what's going on. When we see what's up, we'll commit ourselves. Show us what you can do. Moses fed our ancestors with bread in the desert. It says so in the Scriptures. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus said, the real significance of that Scripture is not that Moses gave you the bread from heaven, but that my Father is right now offering you bread from heaven, the real bread. The bread of God came down out of heaven and is giving life to the world. They jumped at that and said, Master, give us that bread now and forever. And Jesus said, I am the bread of life. The person who aligns with me hungers no more and thirsts no more ever. Let's pray.